Make his own. A long time ago when I was in seminary, I had a friend who was also one of my professors, and, you know, kind of out of the blue, he called me. He's been retired about 3 years. He called me, I think it was Friday, and we talked for an hour. He's not doing well. His health is kind of failing him a little bit, but he's still being used by God. But I say all that to say I learned this from Roy King. He said, you know, a pastor's job, his work, is really to come and get out of the way and let God do his work. I read a story several years ago, in fact, while I was in seminary, about a pastor who was working way out in, I think it was in Montana, and a young man had been killed in a motorcycle accident, and his parents had never darkened the door of the church, had never been to the door of the church. But they knew that they needed somebody to come and help them in that time of need to do his funeral service. And so they called on this pastor to come and do the service. And before he went, he said, Lord, he said, I don't know any of these people. He said, I don't know what to say to these people. And so he showed up at the place where they had gathered to do this service, and I don't think they knew exactly what they were about to hear. But when he got there, he said it's kind of scary. He said it was a bunch of biker dudes standing in the back, kind of like this, you know, beards tattooed up, you know, and just it was kind of frightening. And you know, they were just kind of looking at him, said, "Yeah, what you gonna tell us?" And he said, and it was like that Holy Spirit came and said, "All you need to do is let Jesus walk around with these people." So that's kind of what we want to do this morning. As we think about our friend Rodney, think about his mom, passing of his father, Mr. Bobby. We want to look back at this song, and you know, it's really interesting because the passage that Rodney was going to preach from this morning, it's really the reason I picked that last song. I'll just read it to you. It's from 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and this is Paul speaking. And he says, "And when I came to you, brothers, I did not come proclaiming to you the testimony of God with lofty speech or wisdom, for I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was not with you, and I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling. And my speech and my message were not in plausible words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." And so that's kind of how I come to you this morning, a little bit with fear and trembling, because I don't have a sermon prepared. Whatever happens this morning is because of what we do together, and as we're going to read the Word together some, and go through this song. It's in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 10, Paul says this, and it's really kind of the anchor point for the song we just sing. He says, "But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace toward me was not in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that is with me." And you might read that verse and you might think, oh, Paul is just bragging. He says, I worked harder than anybody else. I don't think he's bragging. I think what he's doing is he's saying, here is an example for you to follow. And the example is, Paul knew that he came in weakness. And we're going to talk, a lot of the passages of Scripture we're going to read this morning are from Paul, okay? And the only reason Paul could write these passages is because he had been in these places, and the Spirit of God had spoken to him, and these words came out through his circumstances and through his knowledge and understanding of who God is. So he is saying to us, yet not I, but through Christ in me. And that's how our life is. That was Mr. Bobby Howard's life. And I think if he could speak to us from on high, he would say, you know, I am awed and humbled in the presence of God right now. I alluded to that story that Rodney told about his dad, Project Angel Tree. He said, okay, let's get in the car. He said, we're going to deliver these gifts to these people. And Rodney said, I just grew up thinking that's what people did at Christmas time. He said, because that was the kind of father that my dad was. So let's pray, and then we're going to go back through the song. We're going to read some together. And I'm going to give you some space to pray as we talk through this song and read these passages of Scripture. Father, we thank you this morning that we can be sure that you tell us in your word that you have not left us alone, that you've given us your Spirit. And not only have you given us your Spirit, you've given us your word, and that's what we hold on to, Lord. It's one point you looked at Peter and the other disciples and said, are you going to go away from me also? And they said, where else can we go, Father? Jesus, our leader, rabbi, teacher, you have the words of life. We thank you that you've given us the words of life. So be with us now in these moments and help us as we look through the words we just sang, Lord, and think about them maybe just a little bit more deeply. For we ask in Jesus' name, amen. Yes, so verse 1, what gift of grace is Jesus my Redeemer? There is no more for heaven now to give. I know that Mr. Bobby I wish somehow we could open a window and we could say, would you join with us this morning and let's sing this song, what gift of grace is Jesus my Redeemer? He knows that in time, in reality. There is no more for heaven now to give. He is my joy. These are the truths I want you to look at in verse 1. He is my joy. First of all, he's the gift of grace. He's my joy. He's my righteousness. He's my freedom. My steadfast love. My deep and boundless peace. I looked at that word for me. I love that word, steadfast. We don't use that word much in our daily language, you know. We don't look at each other and say, don't worry about it, I'll be steadfast with you. We say things like, don't worry about it, I got your back. Steadfast. God is steadfast. How many people do you know that you can say for your whole life have been steadfast? Steadfast. I think some people I know, and I look at them, I say, they're steady, they're stable. They're steadfast. I know that I can go to that person. I know that I can count on them. I know that I can rely on them. That word steadfast love is used 196 times in the Old Testament. 196 times. Because of his steadfast love. Because of his steadfast love. It's used 127 times in the Psalms alone. So one thing that I always tell people is if you're ever in a place where you don't, you know, you're suffering loss or you're suffering pain or some kind of calamity where you don't, have you ever gotten to the point in your life where you're not sure how to pray? Yeah. 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 I think we all, thank you, Sandra. She said what we're all thinking. Yes. Yes. The Psalms is where you should go. Because they are the honest prayers of people who have lost hope, maybe sometimes have doubted, and they go. That those are the words that we can hear them speaking. That's the beauty of the Bible. It's real. It's not glossed over. It's not, you know, oh, I'm having victory in Jesus every day. And you look in the Psalms, and you'll find that word 127 times. And so what I want you to do, I'm just going to give you some space. You can do it together with a few people. You can do it by yourself. But I want you to just think about that first verse. And I'll softly say some of the things that are in there. And your response, the refrain for verse 1 is, to this I hold, my hope is only Jesus, for my life is wholly bound to his. Oh, how strange and divine, I can sing, all is mine, yet not I, but through Christ in me. Let's just pray right now. Close your eyes, bow your heads. thank you for your gift of grace, for our joy, our righteousness and freedom, for that steadfast love and deep and boundless peace that we have in Christ. Father, I pray that your Spirit would touch those places in all of our lives where we need healing. Help us to know that our life is wholly bound in your life, and you are wholly bound to us. By your promise, by your sacrificial death on the cross. And that we can say, all is mine, yet not I, but through Christ in me. Yeah, and so in verse 2, it says, the night is dark, but I am not forsaken. For by my side, the Savior, he will stay. Those words that stand out to me in that, those verses are, I am not forsaken. Hebrews 13:5, Jesus, well, the writer of Hebrews says the words of Jesus. He says, I will never leave you or forsake you. I labor on in weakness and rejoicing. Look at verse 3 of the passage that Rodney's going to preach, and I assume he's going to come back and preach it next Sunday. But 2 Corinthians 2:3, Paul says, and I was with you in weakness, in fear and much trembling. When you think of Paul, do you think of necessarily, is that the first quality of his character that you think of? Weak Paul? Me neither. By the time Paul is writing this letter to the church at Corinth, he's been in ministry for about 18 years. If you chronicle Paul's conversion experience and right on through the book of Acts, you see a man before Christ who was, he was a Pharisee among Pharisees. And he had been trained in the art of not only religious argument, but killing people by means of religious argument. And I'm not talking about physical death, although that he ended up in that arena too. He stood by while Stephen was stoned to death. And I just say this to you about Paul. You know, it says that Stephen, before he was stoned to death, that he was talking with a group of freedmen, which was another name of a kind of a sect of really super fundamentalist Pharisees, and it mentions several places that they were from, and one of the places that it mentions that these freedmen were from was Cilicia, which is where Paul was from. Paul was from Cilicia. And it says, and now think about what I just told you about Paul, a Hebrew among Hebrews, trained in the art of debate and winning arguments. And it says that Stephen, although he was a simple man, untrained, that he confounded them. I think Paul was one of those people. And the result of that was vehement anger. It says he held their coats while others stoned Stephen to death. And so we see Paul, we see his conversion experience in the book of Acts, and right off the bat, he's a Christian now, okay, but he still remembers, he's still got this this format in his brain about how you, and now he's using it in a Christian way, and it maybe not quite as vehemently, but he's defeating people. And it says in Acts 9, it says that they put because of this, people were trying to kill Paul, and it says they took Paul and put him on a boat and sent him back to his hometown of Cilicia. Okay? If you don't think this is true, you open your Bibles and read the end of chapter 9, and it says that after they sent him away, said the church grew, and people were coming to Christ in these vast numbers. It wasn't dependent upon Paul. It was God. God had already moved in Paul's life, and he's still moving. And so 18 years later, as Paul writes this letter, he has run up against every bit of opposition that you could conceive of. And sometimes he's come out sparkling in his rebuttals and his defense. In Acts 17 or 18, he says he goes up on the Areopagus in Athens, and all of the most learned people, the intellectuals, the philosophizers were there, and Paul presented, this story to them about, I see in your squares, you talk about an unknown God. He said, well, I'm going to tell you about the God who is. And he does, and they end up calling him a seed picker, a babbler. And then he comes to Corinth, and it says, I came to you in weakness and in fear and much trembling. My speech and my message were not in plausible words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith might not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. So I think Paul could have probably sang this verse. I know I'm not forsaken, for by my side the Savior, he will stay. At some point in the book of Acts, Jesus comes to Paul and says, don't give up, Paul. He said, I have many people in this city. Keep doing what you're doing. Then the third line of the first verse says, for in my need his power is displayed. Michael, put up the slide. I can't even remember what passages of scripture I put up there. Okay, yeah. This is Paul, too. This is kind of in the refrain. It says, to this I hold, my Savior will defend me through the deepest valley he will lead. Let me turn there and we'll read that together. So again, how does Paul write these words? Well, he writes them because he's not unlike us. He's very much like us. So let's read that together. For we do not want you to be unaware, brothers, of the affliction we experienced in Asia. For we were so utterly burdened beyond our strength that we despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt that we had received the sentence of death, but that was to make us rely not on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. He delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us. On him we have set our hope that he will deliver us again. This is not a funeral service, but in a way, we're here together, and I don't have a sermon, and we're talking about our friend Rodney and his dad. And there's something about funeral services and about someone near to you passing away that grabs your attention in ways that otherwise it would not. And this truth of what we just read there, he will deliver us, and he will deliver us again. The night is dark, but I am not forsaken, for by my side the Savior, he will stay. He's not going anywhere. He abides. I labor on in weakness and rejoicing, for in my need his power is displayed. To this I hold, my Savior will defend me. Through the deepest valley he will lead. Oh, the night has been won, and I shall overcome, yet not I, but through Christ in me. Over and over again, to this I hold, yet not I, but through Christ in me. Verse 3, why don't we just stop there for a second and pray over that. Just think about that assurance. Father, we thank you that you will not forsake us. That you have promised us that you will stay with us, Lord. Thank you for the Holy Spirit again. That overcomes the wisdom of this age. Lord, you do call us to work and to labor in your harvest. And we do it realizing our weakness, but we also realize your power. Thank you that in our need, your power is displayed. Verse 3, it says, "For no fate I dread, I know I am forgiven. The future sure, the price it has been paid. For Jesus bled and suffered for my pardon, and he was raised to overthrow the grave." Paul would say in 1 Corinthians 15, he said, "O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting?" The resurrection of Christ is our sure sign and hope that he has overcome the grave. That is our greatest enemy, our greatest fear. I think all of us can sit here on this side of that day and say, you know, I'm really not afraid to die. And I think I can say that with all honesty. But there's something about when you're there in that moment that you better be holding on to Christ. Somebody was complaining the other night, Friday night in here, about some kind of price he had to pay for some kind of, maybe, I don't know, it was a ticket or something. Sandra, it was you talking about something about how expensive it was to travel somewhere, I think. Maybe we were sitting at the table and I looked at you and I said, you know, there's this old song that says, "I want to hop on the last train in the station." You know? There's going to be a last train in the station. And it goes on to say, you won't have to get yourself prepared, because if you're on the last train to glory, you can be assured that he has paid your fare, okay? Night is dark, but as the last train will pull in the station, we're going to get on, and Jesus is going to be the conductor. That's that folk music side of me that I can't get rid of. I think Arlo Guthrie sang that song. In Romans 8, 31 and 32, we can look up here and I think we got those verses. Let's read those together. "What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things?" Those are questions. What shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? How will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Let's just pause there and reflect. Father, how do we respond to truth like this? To this I hold, my sin has been defeated. Jesus, now and ever is my plea. I think about that word plea. Stand before the judge and he says, how do you plead? Jesus is my plea. Now and forever. Chains are released. I can sing, I am free. Yet not I, but through Christ in me. Let's read together from Psalm 62. For God alone, O my soul, wait in silence, for my hope is from Him. He only is my rock and my salvation, my fortress. I shall not be shaken. O God, test me. Keep going. One of the reasons I like that psalm so much is it says, pour out your soul to Him. These are the prayers of an honest man. Pour out your soul. Trust in Him at all times, O people. Pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us. Verse 4 says, with every breath I long to follow Jesus. There's a good reason to follow Jesus. He's told us to follow Him, right? Come and follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. There's another good reason to follow Jesus. It's because He's going to walk you home. He's going to walk you home. You ever had anybody say, come on, I'll walk home with you? That was one of the things that I loved about my mom. She was a good mother. And she made our home homey. It was that place that where there's kind of like there was always the light on, you know? And you knew it was warm inside. Not just because the heat was on, because it was love there. That's part of this, John Newton's Amazing Grace, you know. Safely home. John 14, 1 through 3. Let's read that together. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. Go prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. You hear that? Did you hear each other saying it? We say it together because we're in this together. We need each other. I think it's in Hebrews 6 where God says by two things he cannot lie. He swears by himself and he promises to us. He says, I'll be an anchor for your soul. And day by day, I know he will renew me. Until I stand with joy before the throne. That's another part of our salvation. That sometimes is, you know, you walk with Christ for a long time, and sometimes you say, "Man, it is, you know, do I really have to depend on you every day, Jesus?" And the answer is, yeah, you got to depend on Him every day. You were saved at some point in life. And I don't know. For me, I can remember coming to the front of the Central Methodist Church and. Florence, South Carolina, when I was 23 years old. I had been struggling with an addiction, with alcohol abuse, and when I was 15, I came to the front of that church too, with a bunch of people, it was more like a Doobie Brothers kind of thing. Jesus was just all right. Remember that song by the Doobie Brothers? How many of you remember that song? Raise your hand. Jesus is just all right with me. Well, that's kind of how I came at 15, you know. Yeah, this is pretty cool. I'll go down there with my friends. And you fast forward about 8 years, and a whole lot of stuff in my life, and it wasn't the same. I knew I needed a Savior at that point. And, you know, today I struggle with the same things in a different way. I struggle with my desire to isolate, to check out, to escape reality. But my life is only secure in today, in the knowledge and the hope that I'm resting in Him. I wrote this when my mother died in 2009. And I said, that's the beauty of the gospel. In Christ we have life because He laid down His life. In Christ we have hope because He was crucified, died, and was buried in the ground, only to be resurrected from the dead on the third day. In Christ we have the promise of a future because He lives and reigns with God. And the refrain, to this I hold, my hope is only Jesus. All the glory evermore to Him. When the race is complete, still my lips shall repeat, yet not I, but through Christ in me. You know, that I hope the next time we sing this song, this will be one of those songs. We're going to sing another song that we sing a lot in just a minute, but this will be one of the songs that we'll sing over and over again together as a congregation, and we'll remember this day. Let this be a place where you put a marker up in your life and think about these things. Paul said to pray without ceasing. Jesus now and ever is my plea. With every breath I long to follow Jesus. For He has said that He will bring me home. Yeah, about 9:30 last night, that's what happened. He came and he brought Mr. Bobby Howard home. And that's the thing that I love about Rodney, our pastor. He is celebrating that this morning. He was celebrating it last night at 9:30, even in the loss, that he knows that his dad. My mother... Yeah, my mother and father are now dead. So, you go through these seasons of life and you see people struggling with their kids. We've already struggled with our kids, still struggle a little bit with our kids, even though they're 42 years old. And, you struggle with aging parents. I was with my daughter yesterday and her four kids, and she's struggling with potty training her 2-year-old. It's one thing after another, and Catherine's mom's still with us. But my mom, she was a lady that loved beautiful things. She loved to sew. If she saw something that she thought was beautiful, she would try to create it. She would cut patterns out for dresses, make dresses. She kind of late in life, things got hard for my dad and my mom, and my mom would make pillows and sell them. They were beautiful pillows and all these little things, and she would sell them. She was kind of like the Proverbs 31 woman. And I remember thinking, and I think that every time someone passes, that the beauty that my mom so much wanted in this life. And, you know, you never quite get there, right? We try to make things beautiful, and we should. But ultimately, the beauty that we're looking for, we will only see when we get over on the other side. That's where Mr. Bobby is this morning. He gained all the beauty that he was looking for here. So yet not I, but through Christ in me. We're going to sing together. And I'll save the benediction. We did this benediction, I think, last Wednesday at our church. We'll save that together for the end, but let's stand together. And we're going to sing.
My faith will fail. Christ will hold me fast. When the tempter would prevail, He would hold me fast. I could never keep my hope through life's fearful path. For my love is often till our faith is true.